Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 584. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. How are you doing, good sir?
Nothing much. Glad to be back. No one died. No one got sick. So it's just a regular show for me.
Yeah. Luckily, none of that stuff has happened around here either. I suppose it's always news when you don't have a job, but hey, you know, that's the perils of living during a pandemic. So that will get resolved sooner rather than later, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny when I was saying the die sick parts about wrestling work wise. That's a whole different story, but we don't need to go into that right now.
It doesn't feel like anything, the WWE kind of had that major, well, I shouldn't say major, they had the scare that, one of the performers had COVID, but, it does not seem like, there are really any big names that are missing time currently due to it.
Well, due to not getting it, but more it's like not taking a chance.
Well, yeah, there's still a handful of guys not taking the chance, but
like their biggest star that's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. But beyond him, all you hear is kind of like, oh, I didn't take it for, I took it for granted because I got it once and now I got it again. So wear masks. And Kevin Owens basically bullying them to having a fine system if you don't wear a mask.
That's I'm sure a bundle of fun as you are cheering on your coworkers and or friends, I guess, because are they still, I can't remember if they're allowing friends in there now.
I or think if they stopped that. The kibosh on that because of recent things going on, and I know for whatever insane reason they were trying to think, maybe we'll have time, we can have fans for SummerSlam. And I'm like, when, 2021? Because I know you wasn't hoping for 2020, but apparently that was an internal thing that somebody had hope against hope, like things would be calm by then.
Yeah, that is definitely not happening.
Yeah, they just, they've kind of lucked out because stuff has been kind of under the radar as far as them being very irresponsible, and because people have been more irresponsible. I've been telling people, don't expect things to go back to a relatively level of normalcy till summer next year at the earliest.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds pretty normal. I mean, I have not really had that problem. We've headed out a couple of times, but it has not been terribly frequent other than to, you know, get the necessary things to do work and or cook food. Just not necessary.
Yeah, I've tried not to leave the house this week on my days off because I was cooking yesterday and I had to get some pecans for my sweet potato casserole. And I was like, oh, I'll just be out my car for 30 seconds. Going to my car to Walmart. When it's 106 degrees outside, that 30 seconds might as well be 30 minutes. I was sweating by the time I got to the store.
Oh, I am never jealous of anyone living further south than me. I don't think I want to deal with those temperatures.
Well, it's been insane. Like, it's just weird when you leave work and you get off 7:30 Central Time and it cooled down to 101.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I'm good dealing with the occasional snowfall, maybe like three times a year now. Rather than dealing with 101 at night. That is some pretty serious shenanigans that's going on down there.
Yes it is. But speaking of shenanigans, let's talk about some of the things going on in the women division, because I know I've been talking to friends and we were making jokes about how certain women wearing witness protection out of sight, out of mind. and two of them seeing them, you know, did their time, and they're back on the show.
Well, yeah, and you could really count a third. I don't think Kairi Sane was on witness protection necessarily. I think that she was just having a problem of a head wound needing to heal.
That's a very diplomatic way of saying it.
So she's been a nice nice addition, even though she came back last week. But I guess since we're talking about this week, the first one was Shayna Baszler, the first one to pop out for the
She was the second.
Oh, she was the second. Yeah, that's right. She was the second. Bianca Belair was definitely one of the women in witness protection.
And it was so strange because she came to Raw. They made a big fanfare about it. You know, she's there. Her husband's one half of the tag team champions. And then, like, 2 weeks later, she vanished. And she hadn't been back since. And it was kind of like, you know, do they not have anything for her? Do they not just want to waste her time? Do they not want to just, like, have her there if they don't want to do anything? And it's been this funny thing where they've been seem like they've been rotating women in and out. Like, that, as soon as the Iconics came back, Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler was gone. And all of a sudden, this week, we've been having, you know, the Iconics feuding with Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. And then you don't see Liv Morgan, you see Ruby Riott. And then out the blue, Bianca Belair just comes on the screen, starts cutting her promo with Ruby Riott just bobbing her head to the beat, which just had me dying. Because it's kind of like, I don't know if you noticed it when Bianca Belair's music hit. I was paying attention to Ruby Riott in the ring, and she was, you know, swooping her head like she was in the club. And it's funny where Ruby Riott's look and music doesn't match her personality. Like, it's two different things. It's two different vibes that go on. Like, if you see her and you hear her theme music, you think one thing. But then you hear her talk and you see how she interacts with certain people, and it seems something else. Like, it seems more organic. And that's just weird because it's kind of like, don't judge a book by its tattoo cover.
Yeah, that was definitely something that was in Kevin's wheelhouse when he was a younger man. He had to talk some keen parents into allowing people with tattoos into the house. that music definitely aligned more with Ruby Riott's entrance music. And I don't know if she does she listen to a lot of hip hop, I'm assuming. Or is it taking anything in?
No. I wouldn't be surprised because her being real good friends with Liv Morgan and see how Liv Morgan kind of like moves around in life wouldn't shock me that much. But it's easy because like Liv Morgan, that energy comes off that way. Like you kind of guess what's in her playlist.
Yeah.
But it's always been fun. Like the Riott Squad were best friends. You look at three of them and you wouldn't think they have that much in common till you hear them talk. And it's kind of like Sarah Logan's the eyeball in that, but they all kind of get along that way. And Ruby Riott her and Bianca Belair have a lot of chemistry. Surprising chemistry, because it's like they're doing one of the hardest things to do. Asshole baby faces.
That was the interesting thing. I'm like, when that segment first started, because I believe the Iconics were picking on Ruby Riott last week too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, did they do all this work with Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott just to go back to them being a team together? So it was quite a shock to me when Bianca Belair came out. And I guess it could be interesting. The women's division definitely could use a fresh team in it. I guess I didn't expect Bianca Belair to ever be in a team, honestly. But this one could, like you said, like there's kind of like this almost odd couple vibe to it that it works between the two of them.
Yeah, like it's an odd couple, but it doesn't feel forced. Like you see them interact, you see like, okay, I see enough where it seems like they, I could see them getting along, even though I wouldn't guess that originally. Liv Morgan, I mean, I keep calling her Liv Morgan. Ruby Riott has the experience as far as like wrestling. Bianca Belair is basically Scott Steiner when it comes to women. Like there's nothing she can't do. And yeah. It's funny where they basically cut a promo saying, I'm going to beat you up and there's nothing you can do about it. And then she just goes in there and beats them up. Because as enjoyable as the Iconics are and as improved they are in the ring, they can't hang with those two. And they basically kind of like booked it that way. Like, you know, they're just better.
Yeah.
And they just beat them.
Yeah, and they definitely made Belair look like a beast in the process. So that was definitely a nice surprise, and well, just the women in general, they're just kind of running the shows right now.
I mean, they've been consistently the best thing on TV since this whole COVID thing started. Like on all the shows. And it's funny because it's been the women that you haven't expected, because it's kind of like, you know, Becky Lynch is having a baby and Charlotte's dealing with health stuff. So they kind of like sit out the limelight. And I don't know if you caught Charlotte on Twitter basically explaining what was going on. Kind of like, yeah, you know, I had surgery. One of my implants ruptured. Got quick surgery to fix it. And then taking slower surgery because I didn't like how the first surgery came out. So quit asking.
Oh, well, yeah, I did always think that was kind of crazy that she had come back that quickly from that injury. If you want to call it an injury, I don't know what you want to
call it. I mean, it was leaking silicone poison, ain't nothing to mess around with. So, or I don't know if it was poisoning or leakage, but it's like that kind of thing can be very dangerous, not taken care of. And it's funny because she says she'll get in, like, she didn't want to talk about other stuff. She'll do it later. But it's always been talk about how much work she's gotten done. And it's always been in a negative way. I'm like, who cares? That's her business. Like, we all see it. She don't act like she did. She don't lie about it. Like, try to pretend to hide it because she's not a full lever. And it's just kind of this whole thing. Oh, her suplex equilibrium is going to be messed up because she got D cups now. Like, what are you talking about? Like shut up. You sound like a damn misogynistic idiot. Like all of a sudden we worry about physics and angle rates because she switched out saline for silicone or she got a new nose. Like, just say you don't like people getting changes and be honest.
That's the one thing that I will say is that in the long run, it seems like it's a bad plan, but it's also one of those things that technology has come along far enough that I wonder if it's going to be as bad as it used to be.
Look, the biggest thing is, because I know certain things about that, it's a lot better than it used to be. But the biggest thing is kind of like not just getting those enhancements. It's doing it in a contact sport. It's always going to be an issue. No matter what you do. Like if you're in a contact sport, any type of thing you get done or any type of thing to your body, whether you get done or not, it's going to be an issue. Like nothing is natural about wrestling. You're getting slammed on a tree. Basically, you get slammed on a tree multiple times a day all the damn time and bounce yourself off a metal rope. So, I don't think if you had natural breasts, it's going to be that much easier on the body either. Like, you have a woman. Or, like, you're a woman or you're a man. Like, your body's not built for that. And that whole bump car, and I only got so much mileage and everything. It's the reason why we revel at Randy Orton and the Big Show and people like that. Because they're, like, alive and still, like, moving around. Considering like Big Show been doing this since the 90s and Randy Orton been doing like since 2002, 2003, and all the people from like their graduating class, so to speak, are retired or dead.
Thankfully, most of them are retired. I'm glad that number isn't the death number is not quite as high as it used to be.
Yeah, so I don't mind Charlotte getting that done. She talked about it. She, you know, she's going to rest up. And to be fair, it's kind of like her not being there gives time for other people to shine, because it's like, one, you get to appreciate Bayley and Sasha Banks a lot more, because it's kind of like they were always known, but for whatever reason, they were overshadowed by Becky and Charlotte. And we know we won't get into the reason. But now they're getting the whole we're on every show treatment. And it's not obnoxious, because, like, you know, Bayley's just a jerk. And Sasha Banks is like, you know, her mean girl's best friend jerk that they're teasing that they'll eventually break up. But in the meantime, they're going to, like, they know what y'all want to see, and they're not giving it to y'all. It gives Asuka a chance to, like, shine. And because, trust me, I don't see a universe where she's able to do the stuff she does if Becky Lynch is still there.
Oh, yeah, that was something that... Yeah, she needed the path cleared for her. Like, I do think that she has, maybe she would have gotten a little more notice during the COVID era here. But, yeah, like, if Becky was in the way, like, she had already beaten Asuka for the revenge win. So, I mean, I don't see that feud happening again. So Asuka really needed Becky out of the paint to really shine. And that's good. Like, it's really, hopefully they keep stuff like this going, because they really do need other people up on that main stage other than the four, you know, the four horsewomen.
Exactly. And it's kind of like, you know, I've been seeing the whole thing on Twitter, like, it's the fifth anniversary of them doing it. And it's like, wow. I didn't realize it was 5 years.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, time flew, and it's kind of like they wasted the first year and a half. And it's funny where, to be perfectly honest, they kind of wasted the first 2 years. Because it's kind of like everything became the Charlotte show 6 months after they were first got there, even though they wasted the first 6 months, and it was just kind of like, it was messy. And it took a long time for them to kind of like get on, everyone to kind of get on track. It was more like you get your turn, then you get your turn, and then maybe you get your turn. Now it's kind of like everyone got their role to do it. But they had too many women just to be around those four. And too many white women being wasted. So it's good to see Asuka getting her thing. It's good to, you know, have Bianca Belair back to do what she's doing. The one that surprised me, and it's funny because I just heard about it, was when Shayna Baszler popped up. Because at first I'm like, is she going to tap out R-Truth? That's my first thought. Like, is she going to take the title from R-Truth? Because she got... It wouldn't have been that unbelievable.
I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, man, this could really bring an interesting dynamic to the 24/7 championship. Because I don't know how many women have held it, so they haven't had, like, that... I feel like it's happened a couple of times, but they haven't had that many all women's chases around the ring. And kind of just seeing Baszler tap people out in odd places would be kind of funny.
Yes, it would be, because that's, you know, I will never forget her choking out Rey Mysterio when he was just minding his business. Her Money in the Bank. It's like, why is she bullying that little... My first thought, why is she bullying that little boy? And, like, Rey Mysterio is, like, older than me. Like, he's a grown man with almost a young adult son. So, seeing her come out there and basically come to promo, like, you know, y'all forgot about me and this whole women's revolution thing's a joke and y'all got this dream and I'm here to kill dreams. And I'm like, I'm glad she's back, even though personally I don't like watching her. For the right reasons and the wrong reasons. Like, you know, she's easy to boo and easy to root against. And because, like, she's just, I always call her a square headed bully.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes they miscast that role, and I'm glad they don't. Like, Vince just has that habit of trying to turn a square peg into a round one for reasons. And he did not do that with her. Just lean into the bully looks, honestly, and go with it. And she really did, like, she's only had, like, one big loss. And everyone else she's mowed through. So, I mean, she still does have a lot of trash that she should be able to talk.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, if it's not Becky Lynch or, what's her name? I can't even think. From NXT. Who's the big Australian bully?
Oh, Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. I'm getting old, so I'm forgetting people's names. If it's not Tosu, she's beating everybody else, like, easily. Like, you know, Ember Moon got a fluke win, but she kind of dominated everybody else in, like, NXT. Or, well, she didn't dominate Io Shirai. She just, like, won by a banana peel. But for the most part, it's kind of like she can wrestle whoever. It's just this whole thing. It's like, there's some people that like her style and some people that didn't like it. And it's convincing the right people the right thing. Because once Vince McMahon decided, like, oh, I like Asuka, she's funny, she's cool, I'm going to give her, let her do what she wants, look what happened to her. Like, she basically got pushed to the moon. Like, she gets to dance and sing songs and crack jokes on, you know, during promos and commentary, and then just beat the hell out of everybody and, you know, make people tap out.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice gig to have.
Yeah, like I say, good work when you can get it. But, you know, I'm a different fan. I'm seeing where they're going with that. Because it's like the women's division is basically kind of like everybody has tag teams, but they're still challenging for titles.
Oh, yeah. And that's something that I guess has been a little bit of an odd dynamic that I don't know if the WWE is trying to resolve that or has resolved that by kind of automatically pairing Bianca with someone in that. Yeah, having the tag team champions be able to go on every show, like, it's hard to keep enough women on TV to have a viable tag team situation without having some of the singles wrestlers be in teams from time to time.
Yeah. But they get the best of both worlds because it's kind of like everybody's in a team, but all the teams are like composed of good individual wrestlers because you can have something where, you know, Asuka and Kyrie fought for the tag titles today. You know, then Sasha's going to fight Asuka for her belt on, you know, on the pay-per-view, and Bayley's going to fight somebody else for her belt.
Oh.
So it's kind of like you get to, you know, you get to have tag team title matches and single title matches all involving the same people split up in different ways so you can always kind of have fresh matches. Because it'd be like, it was the last time you had, it basically be like when Austin and Triple H had the tag titles and they were both like champs, singles champs. So imagine them defending the tag titles on Raw and then have single titles on, like, you know, Armageddon pay-per-view.
I guess that makes some sense, and that's, yeah, I mean, obviously, Bayley and Sasha are really great as a tag team, too, and, I guess it'll be interesting to see when they decide to break those two up, but I don't think that's gonna be right now.
Yeah. The fact that they've been teasing it, they know that's what people want means, is kind of like, I have the feeling they probably won't do that till WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, we keep on wondering, I feel like, what the WWE or any organization is holding off on until they have more of a crowd.
Yeah, and I would just tell people, if y'all expecting crowds, don't. I'm just saying that right now. Like, and the whole thing is, if you're going to get any sports, it's going to be pro sports and empty stadiums. Don't expect college sports. Like, if you want, you may be grateful if you get them next year. Because it's a good chance you might not get them next year if people don't get their act together. You're not getting them this year. So I hope people understand that, like, yeah, this whole, oh, they're just going to play, Big Ten going to play just against Big Ten. Okay. It's going to be on a video game. It's not going to be on real life, but y'all keep hoping against hope and thinking that's how it's going to fly. So it's the same way WWE, like, maybe this thing will be handled by Survivor Series. Yeah. Keep telling yourself that, Chief.
Yeah, that's why it is odd, kind of wondering when they will break up, because, wow, WrestleMania next year would be quite the time to drag that out. But honestly, if they don't pull the trigger by SummerSlam, there's no reason to pull the trigger between then and at least the Royal Rumble.
You got enough women where you can keep them busy doing whatever you want. So you don't have to, like, you can put on a back burner right now. Have them fight Lacey Evans again if you want, if you're bored. So you don't necessarily have to do it now. And it's kind of like something like that. Save for as much as possible. Because it's kind of like maybe you luck out and you get to have WrestleMania in the crowd. That'd be a perfect WrestleMania feud. Because it's been building from the moment Sasha Banks came back. And they were a tag team. People just assumed there was going to be a feud. And they know they've incorporated storylines. They've teased it here and there. So they know exactly what they're doing. Let it drag out. Let it build and keep building. And then whenever you need to use it, you can use it. But if you don't feel like waiting that long, you can always do it in like October. On like Great Balls of Fire or or Halloween Havoc or whatever pay-per-view name. You pull out, you know. I just laughed because NXT had the Great American Bash for two weeks, and I'm like, okay.
Well, and they announced it happening about 2 weeks before it happened, too. So that came off awfully quick.
Yeah, so, but no, like you said, the women just know a weird spot because they basically run the show. And each woman champion has their own set personnel. Like, Asuka's the goofball that can still hurt you in the ring. Bayley is just, you know, the soccer mom that can beat you clean or beat you cheap or cheat by beating you. And Al Shirai Sakuma from Street Fighter. Like, I was just laughing my ass off of her promo last week about Tegan. I was like, you had this great comeback story. I'm glad you made it back, but you always need help. And I'm not like you. I can do things by myself.
Yeah, the underwater promos have been something. I'm like, who came up with this idea? Because it's fantastic.
I don't know. I have no idea. But I think they decided, like, you know what? If we want to keep her, then we need to use her. And they maximize the hell. Because it's... I don't know. She's not a babyface or a heel. She's just her. Like, she's just not evil, but sinister. Like, I'll hurt you if you get in my way. Don't get in my way, because I run stuff. It don't matter who I wrestle.
Yeah, because it was kind of interesting that Asuka helped her out, since Asuka has definitely leaned more towards the babyface side of things, I would say, recently. Even though, yeah, because she hadn't really been using the green mist at all. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit surprising, but it does kind of show you the, I guess, moral flexibility that both of them have, honestly.
Friends are friends.
Yep.
It's kind of like they established, like, those two and I, those two and Kyrie saying all friends. So her popping up fitness storyline, because she was beef with Sasha Banks and Bayley anyway. But no, I'm just loving the underwater promos and just the vibe she had. It's just kind of like no nonsense. Like, this is my ring. You can have all these cool stories all you want. Get my ring. I'm going to run right through you. And the crowd is getting behind her because it's just like she's just a badass.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. Like, she really does have that mystique to her, even though she is not one of the bigger women.
But she's not one of the bigger women, but she's like solid, and she her stuff looks like Kyrie saying, it's like, I put all ounce of my body and soul into hitting you, so it's impactful because she's like put 110%. Al Shirai, like, she just hurt you because it's like she's just solid. Like, you know, that moonsault is not getting a lot of air, but I always think she's breaking people's ribs when she hits you with it. Like, all her stuff looks violent.
Yeah, she has a crispness to her. Like, just she just looks smooth no matter what she's doing. And I feel like that's kind of how her power comes out. Like, it's kind of... I saw the Ken Griffey's Sweetest Swing, Ken Griffey Jr., The Sweetest Swing. Like, and I guess I'm kind of thinking about something like that where she kind of throws her her offense so well and it just looks so natural that it looks like it hurts.
Yeah, and it works because it just does and the crowd gets behind it. And I'm looking forward to the match tomorrow, but I'm like, Tegan Knox don't got a chance.
Because,
you know, Tegan Knox about, it ain't just about a comeback story. I'm not a charity case. I can do it. Now, sure, I like, no, you are a charity case, honey.
It's almost surprising that they decided to put Shirai into a title match this quickly, to be honest with you, but you know that Tegan Knox is just a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, I got the feeling they're saving her true challenger, like the build-up Mercedes Martinez.
Oh.
If I got a vibe, because they made a big deal about signing Mercedes Martinez. She came back, and then she didn't do anything, and then she got the whole vignette thing, like, oh, yeah, just, you know, this is who I am. And then I know they're pushing her because whenever they're pushing somebody, they have to beat Santana Garrett.
Yeah, it's a good opponent for her to have. Just because Santana Garrett definitely has a lot of experience.
and it seems like they're saving Rhea Ripley for later because they haven't her mess around doing whatever she's doing. She's in a tough spot where it's kind of like if she's not the champ, then what do you do with her in NXT? It's like the same thing Tommaso Ciampa problem is. Not the champ. What you going to do?
That's why Rhea Ripley was one of those ones that I would not have been surprised if she was on the main roster. And it doesn't seem like they're doing it because, she was still messing around with Robert Stone and Aaliyah. And it's just, like, they don't have enough high-ranking women on NXT to have her have some weird side feud.
Yeah, like unless she wrestles Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, is nope. That's the funny thing with the NXT women where they have a lot of people, but they don't have a lot of top people. Because they never really replaced all the people that left.
No, they really haven't done that because. Candice LeRae and who did she end up beating? Mia Yim. Both need more behind them to be considered top contenders just because they've lost so many times in championship matches at this point and other matches.
Yeah. That's what happens when, you have to keep in mind you have, maybe 3 years of all the women losing to Asuka and then losing to Shayna Baszler. And now they're both in the main roster, those NXT women. So, okay, I'm good. It's like, how we know? Y'all been losing for 3 years. Ember Moon branched that problem where she didn't get taken seriously because she was great NXT, but she always lost. So her coming to main roster is kind of like, okay, you're the loser that couldn't beat the people in the minor leagues, and now you're going to beat the people in the major leagues. Like, it was a stigma. That's a stigma you have to kind of, like, that was hard to get over just with her. All those other women basically have to, like, Rhea Ripley survived because she was in UK, and Al Shirai survived because she wasn't there half the time, and the other half, she was just losing by flukes. But, like, everybody else is kind of like, I'm going to take Candice LeRae seriously because she changed the hair color.
Oh. Yeah, that kind of made me laugh. I'm like, really? That's all that you're going to do to change?
I'm evil now because my hair is blue. Whatever you say.
Well, yeah. And weren't they saying something about it being purple? And I'm like, man, you went with the lightest color of purple that you possibly could. And you even look like you half-assed the dye job on top of it. I mean, her hair is white. It should be somewhat easy to dye. So.
Such is life. But I don't want to be those type of, like, you know, we're critiquing the women's salon stylist stuff. So.
Yeah. But it's still, I guess, the main point I feel like that we were trying to make, though, is that's not enough of a change for her to be considered evil, I guess. There needs to be a little more teeth to what she's doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's only so much stuff they let you do. You know, they save the whole, I'll pluck your eye out to win a match stuff for Raw. I don't think they're going to let the women do that on NXT. But it's still enjoyable, you know, seeing where the women go and seeing where everyone else go, because it's kind of like, I will say this, I was kind of out on Raw for a while. I was like, nah, I ain't really feeling it. And I think it was after a pay-per-view, I started watching again. Oh. And I've been enjoying it, and I've been watching it since. And it's been fun. And it's been fun because of the weirdest people. Like, you know, MVP? Like, MVP being a thing again in 2020 and making, like, Lashley enjoyable and making the mid-card with Cedric Alexander and Ricochet and Apollo Crews fun, like, with R2. Randy Orton being the soul of Raw and feuding about legacy and friendship with the Big Show. The Viking, like, Ivar trying to be ravishing rude against Angel Garza to win Charlie Caruso. Like, what is going on? But it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to spend a little bit more time on all of those subjects. But yeah, the Charlie Caruso one was just killing me. Because I always fully expect the WWE. They're like, oh, we're building up this thing, we're building up this thing, and then it just kind of goes away. And Ivar being the ladies' man, I had kind of forgotten about that situation. And then to have that segment happen was just, like you said, like, it was really funny, it was unexpected, and yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, I was not expecting the Viking Raiders to be this weird quasi-comedy group that can also kick your ass.
Yeah, and it's long-term. People complain about long-term story planning. This is what it is, because they've been building Garza and Charlie Caruso for the longest. Like, it's been a thing for a couple months, and I always laugh because it's kind of like, it's Zelina Vega, him, and Andrade. Half the time Andrade and Garza can't get along. Zelina always get annoyed about that. She gets annoyed at Charlie for instigating the two. Then she gets annoyed for Garza for flirting with Charlie. So to see her face change and started smiling when Ivar is like, you know, give her the rose, it just fits, because like, it fits all the characters. And Garza was so put up on, like, how dare you? Like, don't you see me? Like, you like this fat boy? Like, what's going on? And it's been a while since they had, like, a long-term storyline with, like, a backstage announcer. The last one was, like, the last one involved Renee Young. And that was all kind of, like, you know, when Dean who was that? Was it Dean Ambrose and Miz?
I believe so.
Yeah, talking about, you know, how can you be an objective journalist if you screw in the champ or some nonsense you annoyed a couple of years ago. But it's been a while since we had that. So to have this now that's been built, and it's just funny because it's like, it's a mid-card feud. They changed the Viking Raiders to, like, you know, this comedy team that can still fight. And Garza and Andrade is kind of like, I don't know what they want to do with them.
They are still a mystery to me, what they're really trying to do with them. Like, it just... Big, like you said, like, they're fighting 1 minute, they're not fighting the next. I thought that... Like, I was about in tears last week when Randy Orton was threatening Angel Garza.
I saw the clip. Like, I was laughing, talking about, look, I like you, but I will strangle the hell out of you. Don't get your head out your ass. Get in the game and do something. Don't think that second generation shit gonna work on me. I'm third generation. Like, Randy Orton missed a tough love, and he was just doing that just to, you know, I want you to be the best version of yourself. Like, he Bobby Knight. Good Lord. I don't know why Randy Orton decided to try. Maybe because Edge came back. Randy Orton 2020 has been awesome.
Yeah, he's the one guy during this whole no crowd era that has really stepped things up. And like you said, like, you have no idea why. Like, I mean, it's hilarious that is really a whole part of the storyline that he doesn't try.
And now he's trying again. It's like, I turned the switch on. I need to try to be, you know, you all these tryhards, you had to work hard, and I just coasted to the Hall of Fame. Like, all the stuff we complain about on the internet, like, yeah, I know. So what? I got a plane. What you gonna tell me?
Well, and then he ends up doing exactly what he's doing, which is delivering on top of it. Like, was it the greatest match ever? No, yes. I don't think so. No. Was it a very good match? Yeah.
It was a great match. It was the best. It was the best straight wrestling match they had this year with somebody that hadn't wrestled a straight match in almost a decade and somebody that's been coasting for like 4 years. Like, that's, it was way better than it had any right to be. And you've been saying that a lot about Randy. Like, and the funny thing is, it's not just a one note thing. Randy Orton is playing like a conflicted man. Like, look, I don't want to do this stuff, but y'all making me do it. You know, like, y'all, like, Edge and Christian, no, y'all should have stayed retired. Y'all, you want to come back and get glory on my name. I understand that. But you picked the wrong person. And I warned you. But now you can go home and be family man like you should have been. Big Show, we've been friends for 2 decades. But don't mess with Ric Flair, because he's family. Like, I don't want to kick you in the head, but I will if you make me. Like, he's telling people, he's warning people. He's like, look, I'm not just doing stuff to do it. If you leave me alone, it's fine. But if you mess with me, I'm going to stand my ground.
Yeah, and the fact that I mean, I don't know if the WWE, just because... I guess I don't know if they bring back a guy for a short-term feud like they have, but they've really ended up stumbling into something for Orton here, just because, because Edge came back, essentially.
Yeah, Edge came back, they had that whole thing, and Edge basically turned to a terrorist by the end of it. Like, when I come back from this injury, I'm going to destroy your life and your family. It ain't Randy Orton fought you long. Like, you sound like a villain. And Randy Orton's like, you know, this won't be wrestling matches. You sound like a madman. Like, enjoy being a family man. Go make movies. And Ric Flair basically reinforced that with me. She's like, why are you back? You got that Netflix money. This is some half-ass shit you can do. Like, it's a reason to Rock ain't back. You saw what happened when Edge tried to come back from all that stuff. He was ending you out. He basically looked at Big Show like, you don't need to do this. What are you doing? You rich. You old. You got a family. I like your show, too. I saw on Netflix. It was funny. Why are you over here messing with us?
Yeah. I mean, it is a good question. It will help keep Randy Orton being the legend killer for a little while longer. And, yeah, it's been fun. Even as they've transitioned into this Big Show thing, like, I guess I question why... Well, having Ric Flair there really helps that segment out. Like, as much as I don't think they need Ric Flair around, no one else can do that segment.
It works because he has history there with because they all have history together. And yeah. Ric Flair's kind of like that whole thing where, you know him and Randy Orton got that whole evolution bond, and then they break it down like it's like two generations. They all kind of like, we all grew up together. You were all my friends, and we still around. It's a shame we fight because we should all be hanging out together, but it is what it is. And then he does stuff with the young people, like, you know, basically saving R-Truth last week from Tozawa, only to lay him out this week. Because it's kind of like, you know, business is still business.
Oh, right. And, yeah, if Randy Orton decides to stop R-Truth's career, we might have to have a talking to with Mr. Orton. That is one person that we cannot do without on our WWE screens.
And they say, and it's funny, I just realized something you're talking about. Almost everybody that's been interacting with you for the most part are all like from the Attitude Era wrestlers that just happen to be still around. Edge, Christian, R-Truth, Big Show, like they were all like late 90s, early 2000s. It's 2020. We're still talking about them. Like, it's a viable thing. And it's not cringy like the Sheamus Jeff Hardy stuff that's going on, which I don't want to talk about because it's kind of like enough. It was cringy when they did it with CM Punk, and I feel like that was a decade ago. So for him to basically doing it all over again and basically kind of like have Sheamus be right, like, what's... yeah. I'll let y'all talk about some other time. I like talking about fun stuff. So, Raw has been fun because that segment's been fun. MVP being a thing again because I thought he was going to retire. I thought he'd be like, I'm going to have my one match with Rey Mysterio and then I'm going to be an agent. I'll just have a talk show. That seemed like that was the whole plan. And that's what I thought was going. And now all of a sudden... He's one of the linchpins on Raw, making Lashley enjoyable and making you care about Apollo Crews and like Cedric Alexander and Ricochet and having like, and it's funny where he's Lashley's manager, but Lashley talks more now and Lashley cuts better promos just being around MVP.
The promo time for Ricochet and Cedric Alexander was pretty much non-existent, even though both guys have been pushed numerous times. I would at least two or three times a piece, and they haven't really gotten anywhere, and they haven't been given a character. And I think it's finally been the first time that Ricochet hasn't come off as a nerd.
I'm a superhero. Want to show the kids that superheroes exist. Yeah, I remember those promos, and I was like, good God, what a dweeb.
Yeah, so it was good. It's at least we're off to an early good start to get Ricochet out of those types of promos, because even if that's why the kids do like him, because he looks like one, that is not where you need to lie your head for your character.
Yeah, like, they like superheroes because they're cool. Not because they tell you that I'm a superhero all the time, that gets old real fast. And it's funny because, like, MVP seems like his whole plan is, roll with me, y'all be winners. But y'all want to be hard-headed to keep losing, so I'm going to keep having Lashley beat y'all up. And Lashley is not even jealous about it, because it's kind of like, you know, he's beating up Apollo Crews so MVP can get the title.
Oh, yeah, because he really should not be worried about the U.S. title?
Yeah, the U.S. title.
Yeah, I always forget which secondary title is where. But yeah, Bobby Lashley should be going after a higher prize at this point. Like, I mean, I know that he just lost a championship match, so it's probably not going to happen against Drew McIntyre necessarily, but he needs to be back into that picture once it's someone not named Drew, or we've given it enough time for it to feel a little fresher.
Yeah, it's funny where Drew McIntyre is basically an afterthought. Both champions are afterthoughts. Not even, I don't know if it's their fault. It's just kind of like,
oh,
you forget Drew's, part of Drew's like they have him fighting Dolph Ziggler. And champions who fight Dolph Ziggler always are worse off because of it. And someone pointed out, like, you know, just look what happened with Dean Ambrose and look what happened with Kofi Kingston. And it was somebody else they pointed out. I was like, yeah, you wrestle Dean Ambrose for in a title feud, it never goes well for you.
Oh, yeah, because it's just like you should win this. And, it, like, even the that whole, oh, Dolph Ziggler gets to decide what the stipulation is, like, it's kind of like one of those ones where I'm like, I don't care what it is unless it's like Drew McIntyre has to wrestle with his hands behind his, his hands behind him. Even then, I'm not going to buy Dolph Ziggler as the possible winner.
I'm like, look, Dolph is only going to win if he shoots Drew McIntyre or if he has Drew McIntyre deported.
Those are very good points, I think. Because, yeah, it's... But, I guess with Roman Reigns not being there, I don't know who they've elevated towards the championship. You know, I mean, Lashley was the guy that they gave a push to. Braun's over on the other program being the champ, who could also be someone size-wise that would match up with Drew McIntyre. I guess I'm struggling to figure out who would even be to take on Drew McIntyre that would be better than... Well, anyone would be better than Ziggler, honestly, but... there are not a whole lot of good options on Raw for that.
I mean, it's Brock Lesnar. when he eventually comes back, because, you know, Roman Reigns isn't there. They go in there like Kofi Kingston's just a tag team specialist at this point. Daniel Bryan is doing his thing with AJ Styles and whatever Matt Riddle does. And it's weird because it's basically a delineation of big men, small men. And it's not even like a main event thing. It's like, because a lot of the small guys do main event stuff, but it's kind of like guys of a certain size are all feuding with each other, and you got these big guys that can't really feud with anybody because they're just kind of like, they're just bigger than everybody, and it's just kind of like, it's a thing, and that's even an NXT thing. You know, I guess we can wrap up with that because it's kind of like, you know, Adam Cole finally loses the belt. Chief Lee has it, and Chief Lee has people he can wrestle because it's like it's a few big people that are in NXT. I don't know what they're going to do with Adam Cole and UA. I mean, put them on SmackDown. Keep them away from anybody that's over 6'1".
Oh yeah, it is a possibility. They really. And I believe I said it last week, they've got nothing to do in NXT at this point. Like, Adam Cole having that long of a reign, the only thing that he really has is multiple reigns left. And Fish and O'Reilly have been tag team champs twice, so that's not really going to do them any good. Roderick Strong's been North American champion and tag team champion. I don't ever see him winning the main title. So, yeah, moving him to SmackDown would be fine. Or Raw. I mean,
SmackDown, they would have more to do. And it would help SmackDown. Raw is kind of like, they go to Raw. They're going to do feud with Aleister. They're going to feud with Aleister Black's gang, or they're going to feud with... Andrade and Garza's game. Or are they going to feud like... I mean, it's kind of like... It seems like they're going Raw. Raw, start, even though it's 3 hours, gets crowded. SmackDown really don't have a lot going on. So putting them on SmackDown kind of like fleshes out SmackDown and has them to do... Because SmackDown's biggest issue is Braun Strowman's champion. And that's the most boring thing possible. Like, I don't care that he's champion. I don't care if Bray Wyatt gets the belt back. But it's kind of like, that's always been the problem when you have certain people champion. Who on that show is believable that you can see, like, I can beat Braun Strowman in a fair one for the title?
Oh, yeah. Bray Wyatt is one of the few. But even then, it's just like, Bray's a big guy, but he's not even close to the size of Braun Strowman. You know, because after that, that's a good question. Like, I'm trying to think. You know, Sheamus isn't going to be going after the title, I don't think. But, I mean, yeah. He could be someone that would do it. Like, he's big enough to...
They have more people on Raw that's more believable to be Braun Strowman than they do on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because Braun Strowman's on SmackDown. And the wrestlers who are skilled enough to beat him are all fighting each other. Like, Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles are fighting each other. I know they said Vince looks at Matt Riddle as the next Shawn Michaels, but I don't know if he looks at it like that. Like, yeah, I'm gonna have him beat Braun Strowman, because you know the funniest, the person that could do it is busy being an NXT champion. Like Keith Lee.
I know that Jeremy and I talked about it. Jeremy was really surprised that Keith Lee won. Just because it makes more sense to have him on the main roster. And the main roster definitely is in need of more big men than NXT is in need of them.
Yeah, but then the whole thing is, then you have to explain how Keith Lee's losing to Adam Cole.
Oh.
So how, sell that to me.
And then that kind of becomes the problem, too, with Keith Lee. Like, even in NXT, like, how do you have, I can't believe Damian Priest and Donovan Dijakovic could be our North American and NXT champions in some order.
Yeah, it's funny how they had a picture of him and Dijakovic. You know, they talking about how, you know, we had wars, that's why we best friends, and one day we're going to main event WrestleMania. And 5 years ago, those roles reversed. Like, Dijakovic is the one that has the title, Keith Lee is his buddy, and not the other way around. Oh. And that shows, like, how much things have changed. So I can see them, it seemed like they're pushing Karrion Kross to the moon, so I can see that. But it was the same issue.
Yeah.
When Keith Lee wrestled Roderick Strong, it's like, it ain't a snowball's chance in hell Roderick Strong's beating Keith Lee in a fair fight. Like, I had this conversation with Jeremy. I'm like, that's what happens. NXT did a good job of keeping big men wrestling big men and small men wrestling small men. The moment those streams cross, then it's kind of like, all right, Keith Lee start challenging titles, and it's somebody that's like half his size. How you going to convince me that Keith Lee's not going to win while having me still believe in Keith Lee?
I guess I did forget about Karrion Kross. I'm not sure why. But he definitely, size-wise, can compete with those other two that I mentioned. But, yeah, you almost think that he's got to take one of the... I would think that Karrion Kross is going to take one of the two titles off of Keith Lee. And yeah, I guess that is the other reason, or other way to sell a smaller opponent beating Keith Lee, is if they end up doing one of those, he has to go into TakeOver defending both belts.
It's a triple threat, and somebody beats somebody else. Yeah, it seems like they're pushing Karrion Kross to the moon.
Yeah.
The gimmick works, and he works. So we'll see. But, yeah, we'll see. Like, that's the one thing. NXT isn't boring. So I'll give them credit with that, because, like, they have a lot of, you know, plates that they're juggling right now, and they can go in different ways. And it's hard, because it's like you're trying to build stuff when you don't have fans. Like, all these great matches, all this stuff is happening, and it's just like your colleagues cheering them. And it's – it's funny because I've been watching, I've gotten used to it, and it's a good chance, like, 2 weeks from now, I'll be doing the same thing with the NBA.
Oh. Yeah, I already watched the MLS is back tournament because the Columbus Crew played Saturday night. And I keep on, because I'm watching the game most of the time, I guess I don't pay attention to the stands because they're starting to pipe music in. And I know that I saw an article on ESPN, I think, about how hockey teams are, like, getting fans to record team-specific chants to be able to pipe into the arenas when they're playing.
Yeah, I have too many bad memories of watching SmackDown in the 2000s to be on board with that. Like, no. That just brings up memories of, like, the John Cena era when it's like, it's all this noise and that does not match the crowd. And it was kind of like, look, I know you're trying to do the best you can do. Just let them play. Like, it's an epidemic. You can only fake it so much. We know what's going on. Don't even bother. Like, just let them play.
The only thing that I can think of, honestly, is that especially for, to me, I know how hockey players talk to each other. I'm just going to say that they have potty mouths 9 times out of 10. And I don't know if the overdubbed sound is killing some of the noises that the players are making on the field or not. Because that, to me, could become an issue.
Yeah, I bet you better do like 6 second delays.
Yeah, that's the only way to deal with it, so yeah. Good luck. Is the NBA planning on piping in music? Do you know?
They have talked about it. I'm just kind of... The funny thing is people keep saying, oh, we shouldn't do this and everything like that. They're going to keep saying it until the moment is on. And then we're all going to watch it. And I know that because wrestling fans have said the same thing. Oh, how Vince don't give a damn about his athletes. They're all getting sick. They don't need to be wrestling. But let a pay-per-view come on. We're all watching about talking about it because it's kind of like if they're going to put it on and there's nothing else to watch, we're going to watch. That's just how it goes. And should they be playing safety box? No. And like the rules they put in, it's talking about, oh, you can't swap jerseys out and the players are like, so we can tackle each other for an hour, but swapping out jerseys for 7 seconds, that's the line you can't call. Like, it's stupid. And we all know it's dumb. We're still going to watch. You know, we're still going to be there because I'm, and you could say asterisks. Let me tell you something. If the Flyers win, you put all the asterisks on the world. I don't give a damn. I don't give a rat's ass. Call everyone. Have Eric Lindros come out there with a Vince McMahon mask to handle the cup. I don't care. A championship is a championship. You could say, I won a title during a plague. How cool is that? You think people remember like who won in 2013 without looking up on Wikipedia? Everybody's gonna remember who won in 2020.
Yes, that is definitely gonna be the case. I'm definitely gonna, whether it's any of the sports, like the crazy 60 game baseball schedule.
Half the teams, like I saw. Oh yeah, when the Phillies gonna play like the same. They've been like the Yankees and the Red Sox and all that mess.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been paying attention to that plan. I'm like, yeah, you're going like a 4-game losing streak. This season's done.
Well, yeah, that is the – someone's probably going to win the division with 35 wins. I'm like, sounds strange, but yeah, you're probably accurate. Like 40 wins might be like a topper.
Yeah, like you have a, man, you have a slump for a week. And it's a wrap. It's like, yeah. I came all the way back for this. Yeah, that's going to be weird. And, I mean, all of it's weird. And we just all try and do it the best we can. Like, everybody walking around with a mask on. And some people don't want to go mad. Like, oh, go to of school, if you die, you die. If they don't care about 6-year-old kids, what makes you think? Well, that's my thing. Why should they care about wrestlers? No one else cares about anybody else. Like, this whole Vince McMahon's evil for doing what he's doing. Is he as evil as somebody saying, oh, well, if kindergarten just died, and so what? I mean, I think, no offense to AJ Styles, I'm worried about little Timmy.
Oh. Yeah, I've already heard enough about little Timmy to not want to hear anymore, honestly.
This whole collateral damage thing, I'm confused. Oh, they can't. They shouldn't be wrestling. We're watching. They shouldn't be, but they're doing it. We're watching. And it's funny because it was plenty of people who didn't watch when they went to Saudi for obvious reasons and a lot of moral reasons. Whether it was right or not, they had the choice to do that. But I don't hear people saying, well, I ain't watching until they get a vaccine. Like, no, we're all watching. We're all part of it. And that's why they're doing it. Because they know we're going to watch. And that's why Brian Alvarez tweets out ratings like anyone gives a rat's ass. Because apparently enough people give a rat's ass to brag about it. Like, oh, Sasha Banks is a ratings draw. Okay. I mean, they neither one of them hitting Burger Town. I know that's been a thing. Whatever that Guy Fieri cooking show is, that's getting like more viewers than both of them combined. But we don't have anything else to talk about. Like, some people only have jobs. Some people like had to bury their aunt. So, fine. They want to show NXT. It's only so many times I can watch Predator because they've been showing the same movies on HBO, HBO Max. Like, I'm not going to watch Breaking Bad again. I already seen it twice. So, until other sports come back, I'll watch. What else am I going to do?
I'm kind of in the same boat. It's like, I'm not really going anywhere. They're taking, you know, I almost have that UFC mentality where it's just like, hey man, you know that you can have your head kicked off, so that's kind of on you. Like, if there's something that goes, you know, really wrong, like, you made the choice to fight in this. It's just kind of, I'm in no way blaming anyone that decides to opt out, which I know that there have been a handful of guys pretty much everywhere that have already decided to opt out of their league. I don't blame them. It's probably the smart move to make.
I mean, if you can do it, you can afford it. That's the thing. No one's blaming Roman Reigns because everyone understands the reason. If anything, people are like, oh, Roman Reigns is the smart one. I know it's been some people been calling, like, you know, athletes, oh, he's a coward. I know it's been coming up in baseball lately. Like, oh, he wants to take care of his kids. We all got kids. What about my baseball? I'm like, you don't shut your dumb ass up.
Jesus.
Why don't you go out there and pitch since you care so much? Like, shut up. People are dying. Nobody, if somebody want to stay home, I'm not going to get mad at David Price because he wants to stay home because he don't want to die. Like, I get it.
Yes, I completely do too. Oh boy.
Because just imagine you risking your life just to lose a 6-minute match to Dolph Ziggler. Is that how you really want to go out in life? Because I don't.
No, but Drew McIntyre has taken that chance.
Well, he knows he's not losing to Dolph Ziggler, so.
Yeah, well, he could still lose to Dolph Ziggler if that knucklehead's one of the guys running around without a mask on.
Mm-hmm. One more thing before we go. I don't know, I'll talk to you about it. How are they going to do this whole eyeball nonsense match?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You brought that up earlier. I'm like, oh, yeah, that definitely needs to happen. I have no, like, you can definitely do more tricks if there is a mask involved, but it's still going to be weird that there's the possibility that Rey Mysterio is going to hang around with an eye patch and Seth Rollins could have an eye patch at the same time.
Okay, but that's the thing. How, like, they have basically made it specifically clear, you got to take the eyeball out of his skull. And Seth Rollins is talking about, you know, it's going to be a shame. Rey Mysterio won't be able to see his kids again because he's blind. I'm like, I thought they said one eye. Like, they really enforced this whole, it's going to end on some Kill Bill crap. And I'm like, why? What are they? I'm just imagining the shenanigans, make some CGI shenanigans going to do, because that's the whole thing with this whole, we can take stuff in advance and do whatever we want in this Chamber of Fear pay-per-view that's coming up. The House of Horrors, or whatever it's called. House of Danger.
Extreme Rules, the horror show.
The horror show. And I'm just like, I'm just curious more than anything. Because they didn't have to do this. And we've been making fun of them because, like, you know, Edge and Randy Orton just could have been a match. And it became the greatest match ever. And we all laughed at it. Ended up having like a 4.5-star match that was almost an hour long. And the Boneyard match was a thing. We made fun of, like, you know, Money in the Bank. And it basically became WWE Die Hard Edition. So they have been doing some enjoyable shit since it's been going on. I have no idea what they're going to pull out Sunday, because it's kind of like, they're really talking like, yeah, I'm going to pull his out of his damn head and juggle it. And if they talk about the whole, we're going to have an eye patch, for how long? They're just going to hope we forget one day that Seth Rollins lost the eye, he's just going to show up at Survivor Series, I got a new eye, what are you, RoboCop?
I guess I would say yes. Go ahead and really embrace the ridiculousness that can be a soap opera. And just say that you had Dr. Rolf implant a new eyeball in your head and it works just like normal. And it gave you some superpowers. I guess, yes, that sounds like the best plan of action to me.
Now, I don't want Rey Mysterio to come back with a fake out like Kano and shoot laser beams. You know what? I'm just fine. Because I know old school fans talking about how wrestling used to be serious. And I'm like, Harley Race was on TV, put a hit out on Ric Flair for $25,000. And nobody called the cops. So I don't want to hear about how serious wrestling used to be. Because I always laughed in that promo. Talking about, Jack Briscoe, you the champ. You beat me. You can do it. Here's $25,000. Take out Ric Flair. And it's a serious man in a serious suit with mutton chops. Basically putting a hit out because he's sick of Ric Flair. Somebody put him out. And he didn't say put him out. Take him out the sport. He was very clear about what he wanted done to Ric Flair. And we treated like, I'm like, isn't that a crime? You know, like, I'm just imagining, because if it wasn't, Ed Snyder would have done that against Jaromir Jagr a long time. I got 50 grand. Somebody take his knee out. Rick Tockett, I know you can do it. Like, you can get a signing bonus. Do it for the city of Brooklyn Love. Lemieux, Cancer Spencer. Put him out the game. You can do it.
I'm
surprised he never did, because Ed Snyder cared about winning that much. I'm surprised he put a hit out for one of the Penguins, like Mark Messier. I got 100 grand. Somebody break his neck.
Yeah, unfortunately, that would not completely surprise me if at least the idea was floated out there. One way or the other, honestly. I know that.
I was like in there, like, you think Bettman would care that much? I'm sure he probably weighed the pros and cons. Like, it'd be tainted, but would it be that tainted? Could we get away with it? Probably like, nah, Ed. Some bridges we can't cross, so let's just worry about beating the neutral zone trap. We got to put a hit out on Marty Brodeur to do that.
Oh. Well, that seems like enough of a off wrestling diatribe to end on. I still need to do some driving, so I am not drinking currently. I will probably do that later. So I believe I will just attach that Bell Time Beer suggestion after the show here. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Philly Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere else that you happen to want to listen to us. And I will let Shahid take us on out of here.
For Kevin DeFranco, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and please don't put a hit out on somebody. That was just a joke. We are out.